With his body remembering me alone, at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. Prabhupada, in this verse the importance of Krishna consciousness is stressed. Anyone who quits his body in Krishna consciousness is at once transferred to the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is the purest of the pure. Therefore, anyone who is constantly Krishna consciousness is also the purest of the pure. The word smaran, the remembering, is important. Remembrance of Krishna is not possible for the impure soul who has not practiced Krishna consciousness in devotional service. Therefore, one should practice Krishna consciousness from the very beginning of life. If one wants to achieve success at the end of his life, the process of remembering Krishna is essential. Therefore, one should constantly, incessantly chant the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Lord Chaitanya has advised that one be as tolerant as a tree. Taro eva sahishnuna. There may be so many impediments for a person who is chanting Hare Krishna. Nonetheless, tolerating all these impediments, one should continue to chant. Again it comes, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Let us hear again the verse. Antakale chamang eva smaran muktva kalevaram yaha prayati sa matbhavam yati nastyatra sankshayaha. Translation. And whoever at the end of his life quits his body, remembering me alone, at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyadi Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shri Vasari Gauru Bhattavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In this movement, we have the term Krishna consciousness. It's called the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, as you all know. Now, there is a reason why we are called consciousness, or why we are called the movement for Krishna consciousness. And that reason is that the consciousness is just so so important. It is the most important thing. You speak Russian? And you also? In Serbian. That sounds very similar to, I see, the Slovenic thing. in our present civilization, people don't think consciousness is the most important. There is a sticker in America which gives the understanding of the Western civilization. It says, whoever wins, whoever dies with the most toys wins the race. Do you understand this? Wer immer mit den meisten Spielzeugen stirbt, gewinnt das Rennen. It means the material civilization thinks we should just get a lot of material things together, cars, houses, toys, and then our life is okay. They don't think what happens at the time of death. They don't know that their toys or their things which they have accumulated will not really help them at that time. Instead, they are becoming greedy for more and more things. I just heard about one lady. She is a wife of an oil man who is rich with oil. That lady, when she goes shopping, she spends $3 million just in one evening or afternoon. She has a Rolls Royce and two bodyguards, three bodyguards. So when she goes shopping, she throws the new things in her Rolls Royce, and she three bodyguards, they pay cash. And in this magazine where this is explained, that lady is described to be a very successful lady because she can spend so much in such a short time. Now, in Krishna consciousness, this lady is highly unsuccessful because she is a helpless victim to her greed. She is not a controller, and she is not a master of her senses. In fact, she has become a slave. In the ancient Puranas, there is an interesting little story, and because it is so late for most of you, I will not talk. I will talk just a little story and bring my point to you by this important illustration. In the Puranas, the life of Hiranyakashipu is described. Hiranyakashipu was a great materialist. His name means that. Hiranya means gold and Kashipu means cushion. He was interested in money and in sex, which he would do on these cushions. Now, because he had performed stragos, austerity, Hiranyakashipu had become extremely powerful. By his austerity, he had become so rich you cannot imagine. And so influential, we also cannot imagine. He was so powerful that he kicked out the demigods, the devatas, the higher beings, out of the universal post. He could control the universe In other words, without the help of the Vayu and Agni and Indra, he could do everything just by his mystical potency. It is described that there were 10,000 angel-like beings, the Gandharvas, who usually would sing for God, but because they were so afraid of Hiranyakashipu, they became his servants and only sang for him. You know, it's something like if Michael Jackson would come, to a person, say, "I'm so afraid of you, I will only sing your glories. You are so great, you are so great, you are so great." This is what the Gandharvas did for Hiranyakashipu. They were constantly praising him, although they knew this person is a total materialist. Now, he had riches. We can't imagine this. I was today in Potsdam and looking also in one shop where they sold furniture, because the Germans somehow have a diseased mentality, it seems. They like furniture very much for some reason, and it's difficult to figure out. Möbel. Hiranyakashipu also liked furniture. He had, instead of having a usual wallpaper, he had the most amazing arrangement of rubies. And these rubies were so beautifully put together that the ladies who were living in this palace were constantly, looking into the rubies to see their reflection. They seemed to be very materialistic women who most probably served the senses of Hiranyakashipu in all kinds of ways by bringing strong smelling wines and other enjoyable things. So they were they looked always into the reflection of the rubies. You can imagine his palace must have been a dream castle. So still it is described that Hiranyakashipu was not happy. And the reason for this is that he was always called by his senses and by his mind. I do not know if you can sympathize with this. I personally can. Sometimes when I'm going to my room in Heidelberg, and the world knows that I am in Heidelberg, they all begin to phone in that room. And whenever I try to do something, there is a telephone ring. I say, "Yes, hello. Oh, Sachinanda Swami, how are you? And please come and visit me." And, "Yes, I've heard this already 50 times today." And you try to be kind, but and the people sometimes don't understand that there is their own life you have to lead, and they have no milost, no mercy. So after a day of just getting all this called on the phone, one becomes one doesn't like the phone any longer. One feels, let me go into somewhere where I can have peace and just have a peaceful life in Krishna consciousness. So this is a very nice example. Someone who has no control over his mind and over his senses is constantly disturbed by them. he's constantly called. There's constantly a phone call. The tongue makes a phone call. Oh, come, let's eat something. The eyes make a phone call. Come, what are you doing? Let's look at something. The ears make a phone call. Come on, let's hear music. Then the different senses make all the time their phone calls. And the mind, the poor mind, is totally disturbed. Like when you go on the street, like today I was going, you know, felt like in a different universe in the street. And people there, I was talking with many people to find out how they were feeling, how they were doing, and to give them a book. And so I saw many people in their faces, they are so disturbed. There was a person who said to me, yesterday I wanted to make suicide, but I had one of your books, and I had read it, and I remembered, no, you can't kill the eternal soul. And it's not good to make suicide, because your next body will be very bad if you do this. If you say no to this body and you destroy it, the next body which you will get is a very destroyed body. It's a very bad body. You know, it's almost like your dead body which you have killed. The body which you have killed. So I felt when I was on the street, and I watched the people, they were so, many said they have no time, they are so disturbed in a way, because there is constantly a phone call from morning to evening. So that is the reason why Hiranyakashipu was not satisfied. He had no peace. Someone, you know, just look at him. Externally he was so rich and everything was there, but his senses were not giving him a minute for his own life. Most of our people who are not in Krishna consciousness or in spiritual consciousness don't know that it is important to control the mind and to control the senses. They just think freedom means to do whatever is coming into their mind. I do not know if you know Voltaire. Have you heard his name? Yes, Voltaire. He said, freedom seems to be to do what I want. Made you Tim. But, he said, I cannot choose what I want. Therefore, I'm not free. He understood that our desires are coming from a very, very deep thing, and our deep conditioning and our desires are actually what controls our lives. If you want to be free, then free yourself from the prison of your material desires. Only then you can be called a free person. Now it is interesting to note that our desires are also our karma. Some desire this very strongly and they begin to work in this direction. Let us say they want to be famous as musicians. Yesterday in Nuremberg I met two musicians from Bosnia, actually. Very good musicians, and they described their plan. They want to make now a record and sell it to 10 million people. This is a plan. I told them, Sven, I would hear all the best for you. But do you know, there are maybe one million people in this material world who think the same thing. There are only a few people who are successful. I told them, why don't you make music for Krishna and become devotees? You have just run away from... They came from Bosnia, Tuzla. They were working very hard to become musicians, and I said, well, why don't you just go into our temple? There's nice prasadam, nice dancing, and a very nice mission. This is fully under the control of Krishna, who wants that this Krishna consciousness is spread all over the universe, practically. So become an instrument and see wonderful things happening in your life. Why work so hard? They said, sorry, but I think it's possible to make 10 million. And then I said, please give me a tape of your music and I can maybe, I know a lot of musicians and maybe I can tell you. And they were just ordinary musicians. It was not very special. It was as good as Baba Tarini's harmonium playing is. It's not extremely wonderful, but it's interesting at least. This can be said, isn't it? But they were in the prison of their desires. You know, and they will live now in the cold. They make music on the street. The people say, oh, what is this music? Play Hallelujah, it's Christmas, and they want to play rock and roll, you know, on the street. And people are not... So I think you get the point. By desires, one is controlled. Once... Devotees went in Calcutta, went to a rickshaw driver, and this, you know, a rickshaw driver is a very bad actor, a very bad life. An ordinary, typical rickshaw driver has only 30 years. After that, he's dead because he has to work so hard, and the air which he breathes in is exhaust. You know, Auspuffgase. You know, it's from the cars. The devotees told them, why don't you come to Sridhar Mayapur? We have a wonderful temple there. And live a very nice life, and at the end of the life, go back home, back to Krishna. And he said, no. You don't understand, it's not so easy. I have to draw my rickshaw. But why? You don't earn any money. I earn a little money, and from this I can buy bidis. Bidis is something like a cigarette. So you can see, he was a slave of his desire to smoke. He is a slave of death. So desires are something very, very, how do you say, it's something strong. So in Krishna consciousness, if you want to make advancement in your life, you have to develop new desires. Now you might all think, well, this sounds very good, this philosophy, but it's almost next to impossible how to do this. Well, Krishna consciousness is based on what is called param drishtva, a higher taste. If we develop a higher taste, then the things which were previously important to us become unimportant. By the execution of bhakti yoga, of Krishna consciousness, it is guaranteed that we will develop a higher taste. And this higher taste is ultimately described to be love. If a person is in love, he doesn't have to control his mind and his senses. The mind automatically flows to the object of what he is in love with. You know, it doesn't even get out of his brain. Today when I was on the street, I had a very nice personal realization of it. I like very much a certain Hare Krishna melody. Goes like this: Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. So, all the time, because I liked it so much, this was running in my head. And it was very nice. It was like I felt like on dancing through the street. It was really ecstatic because of this melody going all the time in the mind. And the street became the kingdom of God. Because, although there were so many people who were looking at me, what is this strange man doing? They also, you know, and so on. But it was very nice because of liking so much this particular melody, and I was singing Hare Krishna, and this way my consciousness was saved. So this is actually, you might know from your past life, 300 years ago, you were in love maybe with a person. All the time you're thinking of him, and doesn't leave you. It's funny, you're always living together with that person. Am I married to you? You're asking that person, because it's always there. He even comes to the toilet with you, and to the bathroom. No peace, you know. This is how strong the mind can be. So, in Krishna consciousness, we want to fix Krishna into our mind. The holy name, the qualities of Krishna. And when that is a case, we become extremely enthusiastic for Krishna consciousness, and there is no difficulty for us any longer. We must somehow learn to direct our love to Krishna. Then, as it is stated here, at the end of this life, one immediately goes back to Krishna. If we learn to put Krishna into our mind, we will not have any difficulty to control the mind and the senses, because automatically we are drawn to Krishna. And when we are in contact with Krishna, we are in contact with three of Krishna's most wonderful qualities. It is just like if you come into a contact with a fire, then that you will burn. The thing will burn. On Sankirtan also, today I went by a house, was going a little around the town, because that was my chance to get to know the people who always come to the lectures and the concerts. And I saw a house burning. It was very interesting for me to see. But not for long. Then the Dadu-Dada came and put water on it. What happens if you are, if there is a small fire, that which comes in contact with the fire immediately takes on the same qualities, so that the house will burn. This is also what happens when you come in contact with Krishna. Immediately you take on the same qualities as Krishna has. You become sat, eternal, chit, that means full of knowledge. Yes, you don't have to go and learn much. Ananda, full of bliss, of wonderful bliss. Bliss means Brajan style. Just get into the fire of remembering Krishna. And of course, when we go out to the streets to meet the people, this fire of Krishna thought becomes stronger and stronger, because there's only Krishna we can take shelter. I remember I was going to a park because I wanted to see some trees after seeing all these people, you know. I needed to see some trees, you know. So you can go there. So the people are lifeless and the trees are lifeless, so there is not much, I mean, there's a little life in the people and in the trees, not much difference, but the trees are more peaceful and they don't think so many crazy things, so let's go to the trees for a while. And I remember staying there in the park, being there in the park for a while. I thought, oh Krishna, you're really the one who gives the energy to all the people to do their activities. You're the one who gives them life. You gave them their bodies. You gave them their energy to move their body around. Why don't the people turn to you? What is wrong with them? And I was looking at the trees and I was also getting, why don't you turn to Krishna? But then I thought, well, you can't move and you can't think and you can't, you know, but the human beings can. And if you want to be a real human being and not just a tree-like human being, you have to turn to Krishna and acknowledge, to find out, yes, it is Krishna who lets the whole world and universe run. Let us turn to him. And when you do this little move, you become a person full of life and you become free from the cage of your desire. So we want to invite every one of us at every minute to become more and more Krishna consciousness. It's not very difficult, it is very easy. And then do something important with the life. So Hare Krishna, I want to end here. I just thought to make these few points because they come from direct realization. Want to also invite everyone to go on the street as much, even our friends also from Sarajevo, maybe you can go one day. It is very nice, full of realization. Yes, well, you every day on the streets, but no, I mean with transcendental books and giving them literature. You can go with our devotees from our two Ishwaris, Vrindavaneshwari and Ishwari, and they can give you a pile of books. You will see many things. It is very interesting to do that. See, when you go with the mission on the street, Krishna immediately uses you And he gives you eyes, first of all. It starts with this. Your eyes start to open, and you see a whole new dimension. You see, actually, how all these people are souls who have fallen to the material world and have taken on a scandalous material body with scandalous desires and so on. It's a very, you see actually spirit souls running everywhere, following their desires. And then when you understand that, you understand that you are in the same situation, and you begin to desire to become free from these bounds of material desires, and you actually desire to experience love for Krishna, which turns the whole life into a new a spiritual dimension. If you want, you can make the experiment. So I think we should not talk much more. Let us end here, because our devotees also, I think, they feel a little umarang, a little tired, so they can rest a little. For our guests, we have a very, very interesting Sunday feast at 4 o'clock on Sunday. I think you know that, but this next Sunday feast will be very special. Please come. And bring a little something for Krishna, maybe apples or grapes as a present. That will help you to make some advancement in Krishna consciousness. They already brought. They already brought. Good. Yes, no good. Okay, so thank you very much, and Hare Krishna.